Welcome again to Pentecost Sunday, and it's a wonderful morning. It's a wonderful morning to celebrate the birth of the church, and God has just been doing some amazing things. Just a little testimony, the cards that you lay up here, we as a prayer team, as a pastoral staff, we pray over them every day, and we have a person here that was praying for property to be sold for at least a year and a half and 2 years. God finally came through. Yay. And we pray, and there's been victories, and there's victories that are going to come, but trust me, that is very powerful to come together in one accord and in one body to pray. And when they were in Pentecost, Pentecost is also Shavuot in Jewish, in the feast. But what they were doing before in the upper room, they were together reading in one body and one accord. They were probably reading Ruth. Ruth is kind of the scripture that they would have been reading, but they would have been reading the Word. And together they would have been praying. They would have been eating a lot of ice cream and dairy products, because dairy kind of goes with the Pentecost theme. But one of the things that was amazing, they were prepared in their hearts, the 120. They were up there focused in prayer, focused on Christ. And in the same way that we pray for you, we come together in one accord. So trust me, God works miracles. And there's probably a whole bunch of other stories that we will have no idea that we've prayed for. When we get to the other side of heaven, we'll find out the victory. So today I'm going to preach on it's our third series of our True Friend series. And it's amazing how the series have gone. Today, the title is Why We All Need Faithful Friends to Lead Us to Jesus. And when we have faithful friends to lead us to Jesus, it's amazing what can happen. Can we find three or four faithful, and I'm going to say crazy, not in a bad way, crazy in a determined way? We need those three or four faithful and crazy friends acting together to help us to Christ. My main text today is Jesus forgiving the paralytic. And just a quick opening. This is at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's up in Galilee in Capernaum. And the focus is there was a paralytic that obviously couldn't move. He didn't have movement in his legs or anything like that. And to be able to get to where Jesus was, he had to have four friends get him on the cot and bring him to Jesus. So, the whole scope is this story that's told in both Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I'm going to read right now from the Gospel of Mark, but let me pray first. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just pray that you give me the words to speak. That, Lord, that you bless us with your words. You bless us with your light. That, Holy Spirit, I pray that you touch the hearts of the people here and the people that may be listening online and that may listen at a future date. I pray, Father God, that your word comes into soft ground, that people will take and seek and just take the word into your heart. Father God, I pray that I'm just simply a bullhorn for you. I hear from the Holy Spirit. I hear from you, Lord Jesus, that God, that your word is preached. And that I pray that in Jesus' name that you bless everyone here. Amen. Amen. In Mark chapter 2, verse 1, it says, And again, Jesus entered Capernaum after some days. And it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Sons, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, Why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you? Or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Jesus said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. My first point is to catch a vision and believe that Jesus can help you do it. Believe that Jesus can help you achieve that vision. I could see what's happened. Capernaum and Galilee is all in the same region. It was a major trading place between Africa and the Middle East, and then Saudi Arabia Peninsula all the way to Rome. So a lot of folks came in there. The Sea of Galilee was obviously fresh water, so they were drinking fresh water. It's a place where it was a nice rest stop. It would be, I would say, like Grand Junction. You know, you go to Grand Junction between here and Las Vegas, and that may be where you stop. Or, you know, so it was in the middle of nowhere, so a lot of people came through. And Jesus just started his ministry. He called Peter and James and Andrew and John from the fishing boats and said, hey, why don't you come and follow me? And then, sure enough, they came to follow Jesus. And in that region, you know, Peter and James and John and Andrew, their families had fishing businesses up on the Sea of Galilee. So I'm sure that the word started going quickly. Oh, Jesus healed here. Oh, I heard that Jesus healed the mother-in-law of Peter. Oh, I heard this, that Jesus, oh, healed the leper. The leper who was like the person that he didn't want to even talk to. It's like the person that you would know. Oh, I see that person on the street. He was healed by Jesus. So the word was going around. And I'm sure the paralytic's saying, I'm in my bed. I can't move. This is my chance to be healed. And so he catches the vision. He catches the vision. He probably catches the vision from his friends talking. He probably has these four friends that help him to Jesus as we listen to the story. But these four friends are probably talking, yeah, let's go see Jesus. And so the paralytic is catching the vision. He's starting to see, oh, I can do this. I can do this. So the paralytic is probably talking to his friends. And he says he's starting to believe. He's starting to believe because he's hearing the word of Jesus. He's catching that vision. Now, what he was doing, he was increasing his faith. In Romans 10:17, it says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Obviously, Jesus is God on earth, Emmanuel. So he's the word, the verbal word that's going out. So through others, he's hearing Jesus. And then faith, in Hebrews 11:1, the definition of faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So the paralytic sin, he has that vision, and you may have that vision. You may have that dream. It may be to be healed. It may be even be financially prosperous. It may be to be married. It may be to, have that retirement, to see the grandkids, whatever it might be. And that vision, the paralytic, picture you as a paralytic. And so he was hearing. He was hearing. He was hearing the word of God. And so they found out where Jesus was. They heard that Jesus was coming to town. He was going to go speak at a house, and it wasn't like before where, it's not like here where you have you can have on the internet or Facebook and say, oh yeah, Jesus is coming to this place. No, it was a last minute moment. People knew where Jesus was coming. It was word of mouth. And they said, oh, Jesus is going to be there. Let's go to the house. And so he convinced his friends, and I'm sure his friends were believing for him. And that's why we need four good and faithful friends that will be with us to help us with their dream, to help us with their vision. I'm sure the paralytic said, hey, do you think we could go see Jesus? Yeah, Jeremiah, heard that he's over there. Yeah, we'll go. So, but how do we see Jesus today. We read his word. If we have that vision, we have his dream. Find in the word where it says where Jesus healed in Matthew in the Gospels. See where he, you know, with the feeding of the 5,000 provision. Find where you need Jesus in this word. Read that word. Believe that Jesus can come through. And pray. And pray with others beforehand to build your faith. So as you find those three or four faithful and crazy friends who will bring you to Jesus and his promises, you need to just find those folks. And those folks are all around. Sometimes we're the friends helping the individual, the paralytic. Sometimes we're the paralytic that needs the friends. But those friends are invaluable. Here at Summit Church, I mean, there's so many friends. I mean, Jeremiah, Pastor Dylan, I mean, Bruce, I mean, the whole team. You never know when you need that three or four people that can just, they know your situation, and they believe that they're going to see you through. They will see you through no matter what the cost. No matter what the cost. And it may be where you may be down one day. It's like, this cancer or this thing is in my body, you know, and it just keeps on getting me, or this depression is just getting so tough. That's where you need those three or four faithful and crazy friends. I'll say, no. We're believing for you. And then they encourage you.
Amen.
Now the paralytic had these four friends. And no matter the cost, they were going to see Jesus. They were going to get the paralytic to see Jesus. They knew where he was, they knew where he was speaking, and they knew how to get there. So they started walking. There it wasn't like today where we have a nice car, just get in the van and go. They probably had to walk a day or two to get to where Jesus was. And sometimes we need friends to help us to get to where Jesus was. And it wasn't like the paralytic could walk. He had four friends, one on either side of the cot, carrying him. And so that was a pretty long trip. Maybe they had an animal to help bring them through, but they weren't going fast in that day. But those friends helped them get to Jesus. So they're walking. And all of a sudden they get to the house and they see, oh no, we have a house full of people. There are people outside the door. How are we going to get to Jesus? And I'm sure the paralytic is saying, oh no, this is the wrong day. We have thousands of people here in probably a house smaller than this room. How are we going to get to Jesus? So the four friends, they said, we have an idea. The crowd wasn't going to let them through, even though the person was obviously not healed. They weren't going to let them through. So they were determined, the friends were determined to find a way. And they did. They saw the way. We're going to climb the roof. We're going to climb the walls. We're going to get you up to the roof. And if we have to, we're going to drop you through and get you to Jesus. And sure enough, that's what happened. I could just see it. The crowd's probably out there. And the crowd's saying, what? You can't do that. You can't bring him to Jesus like that. But they had a plan. And I'm sure those friends prayed for them. And I'm sure those friends encouraged them. Even when it looked like, I'm not going to get to Jesus because of the crowd. So number three, keep friends that will help you through adversity. That was adversity, but those friends didn't care. I could see Jeremiah and the crew, and that was me. It's like, okay, get your sawzalls, boys. We can figure out a ladder. We'll figure out whatever we do. We're going to get you up to the roof. And you know what? We know Jesus is there. We know that he's been healing. He's delivering. We're going to get you to Jesus. So I can picture Jesus. He's sitting in the house. And I'm sure he knows the commotion's going on. And I'm sure the person that owns the house is saying, what's going on? But he can't get out there. But Jesus is probably just smiling. I have an opportunity to share the faith, to see a miracle happen. So I'm sure they started with the pickaxes. They're on the roof and things are starting to fall down. And then all of a sudden, the roof collapses. Boom. and then there's a big old opening in the house. It was probably like the houses like Mesa Verde, the flat level roofs, where they were able to get out there. So it was probably sand and straw. So everything was coming down. And we know that the Pharisees and the scribes were in there, all the elite of the church. All the elite people were in the front because Jesus was a celebrity. And they're probably looking at him saying, what is going on? Why are you trying to do this for Jesus? But Jesus was looking at their faith. But the key here is two. One, if a way is blocked to Jesus, make friends that will climb the walls and cut the roof for you. And second, stay away from the naysayers. If Jesus says you can do it, if his word says you can do it, you need to believe him and do what his word says. And stay away from the naysayers and doubters. In Luke 8, 49 through 56, it's a story of Jairus' daughter. Jairus was a high official of the synagogue there in Capernaum. And in 49, it says this, while Jesus was still speaking, and right before this, the woman who touched the hem of Jesus, the woman in the crowd, and she came up and touched Jesus' hem, and Jesus said, who touched me? Right before this, she was healed of her issue of blood. And so 49, he's going on, and he comes to this place. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, the girl, and Jesus said, do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But Jesus put them all outside, took her by the hand and called, saying, little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Those who may doubt, you're going to have doubters that come up. You may have doubters that say, you're never going to be, you'll never be able to be retired. You'll never be able to get out of that depression. You'll never be able to do this. And these people are meaning well. They're probably friends. They're friends of the family. She's dead. She's dead. The girl's dead. And they even ridiculed Jesus. But Jesus even had three faithful and crazy friends out as disciples. He had the 12, and at this time, there was actually probably 70 or 90. There were a whole bunch following them. But a lot of them were cut off to that later on, to basically that group of 12. But Jesus had three that were close. He had Peter, James, and John. And throughout the Gospels, you constantly see, one, they were faithful. Yes, did they have mistakes? Yes, did they have issues? Yes. But did they always come back and be faithful? Yes. Peter, James, and John were always there with Jesus. When it was time to help Jesus with the prayer and just to be with them, they were there on one accord. The same way with us. We need to find our James. We need to find our Peters, that boastful Peter. We need to find that John the beloved. We need to find those three or four faithful friends. And if Jesus had them, we need to find them too. But also, sometimes you need to remove the doubters. If someone's putting doubt, you need to trust the friends who will help encourage you. Amen. Sometimes when it doesn't look like you can go directly there, just like the paralytic, he couldn't directly get to Jesus. He had to find a different way. They had to find a different way. But they found a way and they got to Jesus the same way. Those who doubt, sometimes you just need to push them away. Keep those who encourage you close. Another group that was there were the parushim. That's the Hebrew word. It means separated ones. But the parushim were actually also known as the Pharisees. The parushim of Pharisees mean cut off. This is a branch. It looks green. John, I just cut this off today, so don't worry. It's safe. But it's green on the outside. It's nice. It looks like it can produce fruit. But the Pharisees cut themselves off. And on the outside, they look green. They look very healthy. They look self-righteous. They did this and that. But if you cut this off and it doesn't get back into the main stem or to the vine, it's dead. It's going to die. And that was the same way with the Pharisees. They cut themselves off from the word. They cut themselves off from Jesus. When Jesus came to them, they were just like a cut branch, like this. And all this cut branch is good for, it doesn't produce fruit anymore. Oh, the leaves are nice and green, but there's a little black spot there that's getting ready to, I think that was still in the tree, but there's still black spots that will come in. These trees, the leaves will die. And the only thing that this is good for, to be burned in the fire. The Pharisees, you got to be careful, the Pharisees that don't, your friends need to be grounded in Christ. They need to be able to bring you to Christ and have that faith. You want, that's why Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Be in me as the in the branches. In the vine, that's where a source comes from. Make sure your friends are part of that source. So don't believe the Pharisees, those separated ones who have cut themselves off from the tree of life. Number four, when your friends bring you to Jesus. When your friends bring you to Jesus, it is up to you to say yes. Believe him and believe him for the victory and do what Jesus says. In Mark chapter 2, verse 10, I'm sure what happened, you know, Jesus is there, he sees the faith, they have the argument with the Pharisees. But if you notice, that the paralytic is there, and the paralytic's wondering, okay, you're having this argument about forgiveness of sins. I'm looking at myself, I need to be healed. Sometimes the questions in the direction where Jesus asked, sometimes he'll ask you something else to get you where you need to be. And so they talked about forgiveness of sins, and Jesus said, you're forgiven, paralytic. But then he has the argument with the Pharisees, and then he turns away from the Pharisees, and he says this. He said, Jesus said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. At that moment, we see Jesus, when Jesus says to do something, and we believe. While it's great we have our friends, and it's important we have our friends to get us to Jesus, it's still up to us. It's still up to us to say yes, and get up and walk, and move in the victory. This is exactly what happens, because in verse 12 it says, immediately when he got to Jesus, he arose, took up a bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. So trust in Jesus. Your faith will grow. You have people to help you with your faith and grow and encourage you. But it's still up to you to decide to believe Jesus. It's still up to you to believe Jesus for the healing, for the miracles, for the deliverance, for those things. Sometimes it doesn't happen immediately, but sometimes it does. And a lot of times here in the Bible, we see Jesus all of a sudden saying, do this, and he does. In Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Again, immediately obey Jesus. Say yes and do what he asks you to do. Do what he says in your word to do. And then God will direct your paths. Again, the miracle happened when the paralytic said yes and did what Jesus said. A couple weeks ago, if you're believing, seeing the miracles of provision, in the feeding of the 5,000, we learn Jesus thanked and blessed the bread. But it wasn't until the bread got into Peter's hands and the disciples' hands as they started giving the bread that the miracle took place. It wasn't when Jesus broke the bread, because the same bread and fish were in the baskets. But it's when Jesus and the disciples started to go to each person. And by the time they got to the 20th or 30th person, there were still 5 baskets where they had 12 baskets left over of fragments. That's where the miracle happened, because they obeyed, they listened to Jesus, and they did what he said, and the victory was there. Finally, glorify God and honor Christ Jesus together with your friends after the victory. Then, more friends will be added to the kingdom. In each of the gospel versions of this story, the paralytic is healed in the various ways. But in Luke 5:22, I'm gonna start in 25. They always record they glorify God, but then they see the addition, which is Matthew. And Matthew heard the story, and right after that, he becomes a disciple. So I'm going to start reading Luke chapter 5, verse 25. Immediately, the paralytic rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." There's the glorification, thanking God, honoring God for the victory. Then in verse 27, we see Matthew. After these things, he went out, Jesus, and saw a tax collector named Levi, or Matthew, sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he left all, rose up, and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house. And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with him. And their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners?" And then Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Again, those faithful friends, because of the paralytics, and they were probably in the same region as where Matthew was tax collecting. Everyone knows the tax collector. Everyone knows who he is. You don't like the tax collector. You don't want to see your taxes go there. But I can tell you that they were probably right there knowing where he was. And the tax collector's probably sitting there saying, "Okay, the four friends are coming with the paralytic walking." And the tax collector probably knew the paralytic, knew the family, because they went to the house to collect the taxes. And he's probably saying, "How can that be?" And then the friends could have maybe been friends of Matthew, who knows? But by that instant, because of those faithful friends, Matthew's sitting there in the tax office, and here comes Jesus. He probably was told the story. And Jesus says, "Come, follow me." And Matthew, because he heard the story of the victory, got up and walked. And his friends became James and Peter and John and Jesus and the disciples. I mean, he became part of the 12. And then Matthew was added part of those friends. So the key here is that after the victory and after we glorify God, more friends will be added and more friends will be there. And who knows, the paralytic could have been, the paralytic's there, "Oh, I've got my friends." Now the paralytic could have been a friend of Matthew helping him. We don't know. But how many people also came to Jesus at Pentecost? How many people came to Jesus? There was 120 in the room. We knew there were 12 disciples. But we knew there was 120 in the room before Pentecost. The key is, when we have the victory, when we see that victory, we bring in the friends. The friends will know, "Oh, your Jesus is real. Your Jesus is true. Your Jesus can truly heal. Your Jesus truly prospers. Oh, I remember the 5,000 that got the bread. I remember the demonic that got healed. I remember Lazarus that even got raised from the dead." And I'm sure that those friends, those people, because of the faithfulness of Christ and because of the faith of one paralytic, the faithfulness of and crazy friends he had, his testimony is forever recorded in the gospel. His testimony is forever recorded in the word. Many people have been saved and believed because they've read that story. They read the different versions of the story and they saw the paralytic and they've been healed. Or they've been delivered. Or they've been set free. Or maybe a marriage or some sort of family crisis has been averted because they believed in Jesus. And I just encourage you to take this time as friends. One, find some crazy friends. Or first one, catch the vision. Catch the vision that Jesus showed you. Catch that vision, believe that Jesus can help you do it, and then do it. Two, find three or four faithful and crazy friends who will bring you to Jesus and his promises. Three, keep friends that will help you through all adversity. No matter what the cost, they're going to give you to Jesus. Whether you're having a bad day, a good day, or in between, one of those days where you say, "I don't even like you guys anymore," but they're still going to love you and get you to Jesus. You need those friends. Number four, when you get to Jesus, when you get to His Word, when it's time for you to pray, and when you're in there, it's up for you. You to say yes. It's like the batter getting ready to face the pitcher. You have the team around you. It's up to the batter to hit the ball. It's an individual batter. They're all encouraging you. It's just like that with Jesus. You individually come to Jesus. You hit the home run. You're at the plate. Same way. You come to Jesus and say yes. Believe Him for the victory and do what He says. And finally, glorify God and honor Christ Jesus together with your friends after the victory. And then more friends will be added to the kingdom because of your testimony that no one can put away. How powerful is your testimony? Think about the paralytic. There's no New Testament at that time. Jesus was walking around. He was the New Testament. He was the Gospel. He was the Word. We had the Old Testament, which showed Jesus from before. But what was it? It's by the blood of Jesus, by our testimony, that the Gospel goes out. That's so powerful. His testimony was so powerful that many came to Christ. Just imagine your testimony, Ms. Ross, when your business succeeds here, okay? And you're believing for that business, and in 3 years, it just explodes. Or joy, you get your teeth fixed, and God blesses you with that. Or, you know, property sales, or family members get saved and delivered and come to Christ. You know, you get married and you have kids and grandkids, and you got family that, you know, Jesus blesses, you know, you have wonderful kids. That's the same way. How valuable is your testimony? And people will come, maybe they, in the four walls of the church, yes, they'll come, but how powerful is it when you're on the train? How powerful is your testimony about Jesus that He healed you, He delivered you when you're at with your coworkers, or when you're with your friends at the pool, or at the at your kids' daycare, or you're watching the kids? How powerful are those people? They're watching. That testimony is going to be so valuable for you. So I just encourage you, one, find those three or four faithful and crazy friends. There's several right here that we'll pray for you, we'll love you, but those faithful, crazy friends that will bring you to Jesus. And second, how can we become one of those three or four faithful, crazy friends that will help bring someone else and bring that person to Jesus? It works both ways. It's synergy. Alright, I want to pray here. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just praise You and worship You. We just come before You, Father, in the name of Jesus. We come before You to praise You, to worship You. We thank You that You are our friend. You are our friend. He said, we are a friend of God. You called us friends. Jesus, You're not a respecter of person. You saw James and Peter and John. You had close friends. I pray for that. We have the same thing. That we're not only friends with one another, but we're close friends with You. That we read the Word, we pray, we get in that place of faith where we build our faith, where no matter the cost, no matter where we go, we're going to get to You, we're going to believe You, we're going to have faith. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I pray that we get into that Word. I pray that, Lord, Father God, that we have that vision, that You give us the vision. You give us the vision that we can do what You tell us to do. And I pray that, Father God, that You bring in friends. You bring in friends from all around. Just like that day of Pentecost, there was 120. And because of the testimonies, because of the friends, there was 120 crazy friends there, but it started with two or three. And I pray, Father God, that it exploded to 3,000 and the church was born. But the church is about love. It's about caring. It's about people praying for each other. I pray that we as a church begin to pray for each other. That we become friends of others. That we become, find those friends. Those faithful friends who will bring us to Jesus. Oh, we love You, Lord. I pray for each family here. I pray for each family that's going through trouble right now. I pray for each one that needs health and healing, Lord. That needs a breakthrough financially, Lord. Jesus, You can do it. Let's go to Your Word and find where it is and read it and believe and see that Jesus, You heal. See that Jesus, You prosper. See that Jesus, You deliver from depression and all the evils and junk. Jesus, You're the one that gives us peace when we need peace. You're the one that gives us joy when we need joy. You're the one that gives us hope and love when we need love and self-control. I pray, Father God, you give us the faith, and that when we come to you with our friends, that we're able to say yes. Yes to you, to believe you for the victory, to do what you tell us to do, and then see that victory come into our lives. We just thank you, Lord, for each person here. I pray for their families. I pray for their loved ones. I pray for those who may be prodigals that have run away from maybe the church. I pray they come back. They come back. I pray that the love of God dwells within our hearts richly. The love dwells so powerful in our hearts, Lord, that everyone that people come and see, what's different about you, then you give a testimony. Jesus healed me. Jesus blessed me. Jesus was there for me. And I pray that we can just love on Jesus and then find those friends. Thank you, Lord. We praise you again and again. In Jesus' name we pray.